Did you bring your Bible with you? Did you bring your Bible with you? Okay. If you have a red Bible, hold it up. There you go. Red, not in the color, but in the word red. You have read the Bible, and so you have a red Bible. And in that Bible, if you would find Psalm 52. How's the sound check on that, Bruce? Is it good? Okay, I'm going to hold this in my hand instead of putting it in front of my face. So if you lose me, let me know. Psalm 52. And then later I'm going to ask you to find a place in the New Testament as well. But in the Old Testament today, we're reading from Psalm 50. Did I say 52 or 53? Well, we'll jump over to 53. That's where I want, 53. I had it marked in two different places. Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon God? There they are in great fear, where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame, because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." And now, in the New Testament, if you would find John chapter 3, the Gospel of John in the third chapter. We will find these to be the words of Christ. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll find them there in red letters. And we will begin with verse 14. John 3:14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have..." Good. You filled in the blank. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you lead us, that you'll encourage us, you help us to recognize what's important, what we need to be doing. I pray that you'll use me today in proclaiming the gospel, preaching the good news that saves men's souls, gives us direction. And Lord, we got so many in our congregation and our community that are not doing well, that need your hand upon them, and so we do pray for them, those that are sick, those that are facing trials and temptations. We pray that you'll intervene, guide them, direct them, heal them, and rescue them, as you promised to do. Thank you now, Father. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Do you have a deep desire to be good? Think about it. Do you have a deep desire to be good? How many times in your life somebody's told you, "Now be good"? You've ever heard that? You heard that? Anybody ever tell you, say, "Behave"? Anybody ever tell you that? Say, "Act right. Do what's best." Your parents told you all the time, "Be good." Do you desire? Is there a desire within you to do good, to be good, like God expects? Do you have a longing to worship God. When you got up this morning and you were thinking about Sunday, did you get excited like a kid on Christmas morning? Or did you just kind of, oh, well, here we go again. Got to go to church. I'm doing that thing trying to be good. And that's what I'm going to do. Or did you come today because there's a sense within you that you really long to worship God? We had a great Sunday school class this morning. If you were there, say amen. Good. Men and women got together. Joe and Joyce are out of town. Keep them in your prayers as they travel. They'll be back when the hurricane goes away. But just keep them in your prayers. Are you really searching for God? Because what this is it's literally calling in Psalm. The psalmist was calling for all people who would be God seekers. Do you really look for God? Do you want to find Him? Do you want to know what He's all about? Because right now, it seems that not many people seem to be interested in seeking God. All you have to do is look at our world, give attention to the news, and people are not looking for God. In fact, I saw a program the other day, and it was a drama on PBS, and it had a parishioner of a Catholic church coming into the confessional, and he was telling the priest what to do, and the priest said something to the effect, well, you need to consider God. And the man stepped up out of the confessional and started to walk out, and he says, as I see it, I am God. I am God. He wasn't seeking God. That was just TV. But, you know, in real life, there's people that just that way. I don't need to seek God. I don't need to find God. And even when the scripture says God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. And then it says every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none that does good, no, not one. And you read that and you go, does that include me? Did God, when He made His scan across this planet, did he miss me? I'm afraid to tell you that He didn't miss you. He says, there's none that do good. And yet we say to ourselves, we want to do good. We want to do what's right. But you know as well as I do, we're going through a time in our world today where we're wrapped up with two things. We're wrapped up with the thinking of prosperity, and we're living in wickedness because of it. Is that right? You agree with that? Say amen. Now, you might say, well, I'm not. I'm not wicked. I'm not prosperous. You're not talking about me, preacher. Well, I'm looking in at the world. And it's not me that's doing the looking, really. It's God. And He says, you're just not there. You're not interested in seeking me. But I want to tell you this, seeking God matters. Amen? Seeking Him is what really matters, because this is what He tells us in the scripture. He says, He, that's God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So you might be a person who's diligently seeking Him, and guess what? You've received His reward, and you're going to continue to do so. And that's exactly what God's doing. He's looking for worshipers. It's not because He has an ego problem. It's because He's God. He spoke all things into existence. He doesn't have any pride or problems like we do. We're the ones who came up with all that stuff. We're the ones who listened to the devil and said, here, eat the fruit. And you know what men say, Patsy? If it weren't for Eve, we'd still be in the garden. That ain't no truth to that. It wasn't Eve's fault. Ladies, y'all can say amen. Because Adam, now don't throw Bible, don't throw hymn book at me. Adam was responsible for Eve. And Eve was still by herself, was responsible by herself. But Adam had an additional responsibility. Some people say, uh-oh, you're not one of them gender benders? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. So they were both held accountable And we are paying the price. God longs to walk with us. God has a great desire to reveal himself to us. Thus, we've had the Bible. That's God's written word to us. And he wants to reveal. And so it says, in the book of Jeremiah, it says, a declaration says, you will seek me and find me when you search with me with all your heart. You know, God's tired of haphazard Christians. God's tired of feel-good Christians. God's tired of I want it my way Christians. He wants those who follow him to seek him and literally to do it his way. And when you look in other places in the scripture, it parallels and echoes what we read here in Psalm 53, in particular in Romans. It points to this fact that we live in a world that is fallen. We are facing fallenness. We are corrupt and we are lost. And yet, we want to be good. We want to think that we're doing the right thing. But he says, we're lost. Have you ever lost your child? You ever been somewhere, your child slipped away from you, pulled away by hand, and maybe you're in a public place, and you this dread comes over you about, where's my kid? Where's my kid? The best I can explain to when that happened was on a canoe trip. And I had my infant in the canoe. I had my young girl in the canoe with me. And I was with a youth group, and they were a rowdy group. And they butted along our canoe and tipped us over. And as I went down into that murky water that was deeper than my height, I could feel no bottom. My first thought was, where's my child? My view was obstructed by the turned over canoe and the voices of the women who were with me. Where's the baby? She was gone. She was underwater. Now, it was Florida, muddy water. It wasn't a clear spring. It was nasty, muddy Florida water. And none of us could find her. And then all of a sudden, she pops up out of the water, eyes wide open and her lips closed shut because we had taken her to a pool and tried at a very early age to introduce her to water because we knew we'd be all around it. So, you know, I was screaming, hallelujah, get the canoe. I got the canoe up on the closest piece of land, got the water out. Everybody jumped back in and we went and had fun. But just for a split second, I was a father desperately looking for his child. God eagerly looks for us with that same hopefulness of finding us and us finding him. And what a reunion that'll be. And again in the scripture in Luke, it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I think a man who was lost and turned his life completely around, his name was John Newton, and he said it best. He said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Isn't that wonderful? God's looking for you. You might say, well, I'm right here. Here I am, God. Now he's got you. He wants to use you. And as we read the words of Jesus Christ, here's what he made it clear. He said, just as Moses lifted the serpent up, the promise was, if you look up at that staff that he's holding up, he's lifted up this snake, you will be healed. There was a plague of poisonous snakes. Do you understand? This was God's judgment. He was judging the Israelites. But God always gives us a way out, doesn't he? God always gives us more than a second chance. And he told him, he says, listen, I know those snakes are in the camp. I'm bringing judgment. But if you look up to what Moses has lifted up, you're going to be saved. Now, can't you imagine back in those days? A guy's running around, all of a sudden, bam, he gets bit by a snake. He runs into the tent and says, honey, where's that snake bite kit? You got that snake bite kit? Let's get it out. And you need to treat this. She says, no. Go look at the snake Moses is holding up. You'll be healed. No, I don't mess with that foolishness. I don't believe in that stuff. Give me the snake bite kit. Boom. He's dead. People are looking in the wrong direction. We've already been snake bit. We got the poison of sin in our life. And Jesus said, just as Moses took and lifted that snake up, I will be lifted up before all men. And what he was talking about, he was lifted up towards the sky while he hung on that cross. And he said, if men will look upon that cross and look upon that sacrifice, they will be healed. They will be saved. Their life will radically change. They will become a new person because they will be born again. And he said, so this has to be lifted up. Have you ever wondered why on the medical symbol you got two snakes? You ever seen that? That's related to what Jesus said and what Moses did. The symbol of the snake being healed. I don't know if you ever give that any thought, but next time you look at a medical symbol, see if there's not a couple of snakes or one snake up there symbolizing this very thing in the Bible. Most people don't understand why we have the symbols and the words and the things we use. But what's clearly evident is the Bible is telling us is that Christ is being lifted up. So before we leave this place, I ask you this question. Have you been lifting up Christ? Have you? Now, I know. You've all invited somebody to come to church. You say, amen. They disappoint you. They don't come. And you say, oh, we got empty pews. What we got to do? We, instead of inviting them to church, we got to invite them to Christ. Amen. I tell somebody, hey, come on down to the church. What you got down there for me? Jesus. What kind of programs you got down there for my kids? None. But if you come, you can help us start one. People want to come to a church that's already made. Everything is set up. They don't want to go to work. They want everything to, you know, come in. We'll babysit your kids. And we can do that. And we can do that. We got a couple of kids over in church this morning. And we usually have that packed over there every Sunday. But today we've got some folks that were sick and didn't make it. But we need to make some changes in that we lift up Christ. So if I invited you to go visiting with me, would you go? If I said, hey, I'm going to go down such and such street and I need you to go with me for an hour, would you tag along? Would you go and say, yeah, preacher, I'll go? And then would you maybe say, hey, preacher, there's somebody I want to sick you on. I love it in the ministry when people have come to me and say, Brother Doug, there's this old man down the street there, you know, he's just a real cranker, you know, and he needs Jesus, and I want you to go down there and see him. I said, okay, come with me. Well, I just don't have the time, preacher. That's your job. That's what we pays you for. Now go do it. And I go, oh, no, you go with me. You go with me. If you have a concern for that man's soul, for whatever reason it is, then do something about it. Lift Jesus Christ up before him, and that will change things, because it's the only way anybody will ever come to Christ. And that's what we need to be doing, lifting up Jesus Christ. So are you doing that? And it should be on both a personal and a corporate level. Personally, because nobody has a chance for heaven without Jesus. Nobody has a chance with peace and eternity without Jesus. You can play games and say, oh, that's just talk of religion. That's just religion talk, you know. There's other kind of beliefs. Yeah, well, there is. And there's a devil who's behind a lot of religion. Do you understand that? Even in the Baptist church, the devil can wiggle in. In any kind of church, because we fail to lift up Christ. There's salvation in no other than the name of Jesus. So personally, we got to make it right ourselves. I can't answer that for you. Somebody once asked me, do you think I'm saved? I said, I don't know. What do you think? That ain't my call. I can't do that. I can't bestow that on you. I can't wave my hand and produce some magic and make you saved. You got to do that on your own by coming to Christ, repenting of your sins, and changing your ways. Well, I don't want to change. I like me the way I am. Well, I got something better. God loves you and doesn't want to leave you like you are. He wants to change you to be like Him because that would make you better. Amen? To be like Christ? Who wouldn't want that? Corporately, because it's through the process of our collective efforts that we lift up Jesus Christ, we bring Him to the salvation of Jesus Christ. And here's why. It's explained in Corinthians, and most people don't want to hear this, but this happens to be the truth. It says, foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. You know, people will call you a fool for being a Christian. People will call you nuts if you read the Bible because it's not popular. It's not the thing to do. It's archaic. It's old-fashioned. It's considered not needed anymore. But this word is eternal. And it comes down to this. Do you want to do things your way? Your perceptions, what you perceive, what you've learned? Or do you want to do it God's way? Now, only you can answer that. And the bottom line is, do you really want God to use you? Do you really want God to use you? Somebody once told me, said, you know, I know I'm saved. This person said this to me one day because he was in a backslidden condition, gotten away from the church, and I went to go visit him, and I said, do you want to stay like this? He was miserable. Things weren't going well. And I said, you know, you need to serve the Lord. And here's what he said. Startled me right out of my boots. He said, I don't have to worry about it. I'm saved, and I know it. I said, how do you know that? He says, because I've led somebody to Jesus. I said, boy, you better look in the Bible. I think God used a donkey one time to speak through. I said, you didn't save anybody. God's Holy Spirit. But you were the catalyst, and you were used by God. You didn't do that just on your own. I said, you cannot base your salvation on what you consider to be a quantitative, specialized good deed. You know, that's where most religions are. Well, we want to be good. We want to do what's right. You know, sadly to say that there's a percentage of about 86% of all people attending a Christian church have never read the Bible. You wonder why we're in trouble today? We don't take time. We don't take time. When somebody in the church has been in church for 40 years and comes and asks me a simple question in the Bible, my retort has always been, how long have you been in the church? How long have you been a Christian? How much of the Bible have you read? And they will sadly say, well, not much, you know. That's what we pay you for. You can explain it to us, preacher. No, you need to discover it for yourself. Do you want God to use you? Do you want to experience any kind of transformation? Because that's what Jesus is in the business of. Changing us, making us new. I'll finish with this. Is there a desire in your soul to see people saved? To see people's lives changed? To know that they know their sins are forgiven? That they have a place? Does it thrill you? Now, I know what you're thinking. Man, I'd love it if people ran down this aisle and got saved and turned. They're not going to do that unless you do something about it. And that's where it comes to us and falls upon us, that we have, yes, the desire to be good. But do we have a greater desire? to tell people about Jesus Christ and that they can be saved if we lift up Christ before them. Jesus did say, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. It's our job to lift him up. You doing that? You want to do that? And I'll just wrap it up with that. We're to come back and sing a song we often sing for invitation, is Jesus Paid It All. And as we sing this song, it's up to you. Do you consider yourself to be a God seeker? Do you really seek God? Do you want to do good? Do you desire to worship him? Is there a great desire in your life for others to come to know Christ? Or do you want to keep him for yourself? Let's lift up Christ. It would change us. It would change the church. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you so much for giving us this day and this time. Help us take into consideration that we seriously seek you and that we purposely lift you up to a world that's lost, that's angry, that's sinful, that's mad because they've not met you. Lord, enable us to lift you up. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you all stand together? And this hymn is in the same book, number 305. You'd stand together and we sing. If you have a need, please come to the altar. If you need the pastor at the altar, let me know. I'll step right on down there. But let's sing out. On the first verse, I hear the Savior say,
what a wonderful day we've had. What a gorgeous day God has given us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, for the freedom we have to come and worship you in this house. And Lord, we ask your blessings as we leave here, and we leave here not without you, but with you. We don't leave you in this house. Father, we take you with us, and our job is to preach the message, give the word of God. Lord, we thank you for your precious son. We thank you for that crucifixion, for the burial, and for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that died for our sins at the cross. We were condemned, but Jesus Christ dropped the charges, and we thank him for that. Father, we ask blessings as we leave this church, and we thank you once again for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.